Welcome to the Life Church Auburn Hills Sermon Podcast. We're a multicultural community being transformed and empowered by the grace, truth, and love of Jesus. We hope that you are encouraged and challenged by this week's message.
All these people making resolutions. Some of us make them, some of us don't. Some of us break them, some of us don't. We keep them. Good morning again, and again, Happy New Year. And thank you for being here on the very first Sunday of the year. This is the first Sunday of the decade. Hallelujah. A new decade, and we're grateful for that. And speaking of that, I just want to take a moment to really thank God for bringing us through 2019. Now, I know for some of us, 2019 may have been just amazing. And for some of you, 2019, it probably was the most challenging year of your life, or you fall somewhere in between. But here's the fact that we want to focus on. You are here, and you made it through 2019. Can we take a moment, clap our hands, shout, make some noise, and just thank God for bringing us through every mountain, every valley? Praise God. What an amazing and awesome God we serve. And I'm really excited about 2020. And I shared in a devotion that I have one resolution. And that one resolution is also my hope for us as a church, as a community. And that is that this year we will make Jesus visible. Now, I know a lot of people are talking about vision, you know, the 2020. But the perspective I took was, can we make Jesus visible? In other words, can we make Jesus known? And the way we make Jesus known, he told us in John 13, he told us that this is how people will know that you are my disciples, is by the love that we have toward one another. It's the love that we show. This is how we make Jesus visible. And it's amazing because I thought about that. I said, notice that he did not say the way to make him visible, to make him known, was by, you know, your religious garb that you wear. He didn't say that. He didn't say you can make him known by how much knowledge you accumulate. That's not what he said. He didn't say that your cross that you wear with bling on it. That's not how he said he will make him known. Nor by the Bible, how big your Bible is. Most of us don't carry Bibles. We carry Bible apps. And so I can see some of us bragging about our multi-version concordance with over 500,000 entries from various translations. No, that's not how he said we will make him known. But he said we will make him known, we will make him visible by the care, the compassion, and commitment that we have one toward another. How we interact with each other. And I love this because it includes also how we interact with those we agree with, those we disagree with. And Jesus dropped this radical statement to an oppressed people. He said this, I want you to love your enemies. Let that sit on you for a moment. Think about that. Yes, Jesus even challenged the way we interact and respond to our enemies. And I love what Dr. King said here. He says, love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy to a friend. Love is the only force. And you ask yourself, how are we responding today to those we agree or don't disagree with? And what is our driving motivation? Is it love? Is it hate? Is it indifference? Or is it fear? And you see, Dr. King, when he mentioned that statement, he was not sitting in a global acceptance. They were like, and everybody was not, yeah, Dr. King, he's the man. No, he said the statement in the midst of blatant discrimination and racism. And my friends, he said this statement not as a result of being fed partisan news, but he said this statement because he was focused on the purpose and the plan of God. And he wanted to make God visible in his day and his time. And we know he wasn't perfect. He too was an enemy of God, just as you, just as I. But I'm a witness to that transforming power of God's amazing love. Do I have any witnesses out there of God's amazing love, his transforming power? I heard somebody. See, let me just testify. I was pursuing my own agenda, doing my own thing, and God's love pursued me. And now, as our worship team ministered earlier, now I can declare that I am a friend. I'm a friend of God. Now, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I'm excited because we're diving into this series called 3C Friendships. Now, most of you, we've rehearsed this. We've been talking about it some time. 3C Friendships are committed, cross-cultural, and Christ-centered. And this is not a normal series, but this is an invitation to a journey that we are seriously embarking on. And as we travel down this journey, some of the information that we share may make you uncomfortable. I'm just going to give you the warning. Because we may address some deep-seated ideas and bias that we may have or preconceived notions. But I'm learning more and more that when God invites us, he invites us to move from where we are and from what we know to where he's calling us. And his callings never leave us in the same place that he finds us. So I'm going to encourage you to stay open. Try to be here for every lesson. And then join us on Wednesday night as we dive deeper again, starting on the 15th. My goal today is to give an overview. And then the upcoming lessons will expound more on the actual. We'll break down those three C's. And from the topic today, the power of 3C friendships. And I'm going to share several scriptures because I want you to know that we're not making this up. This is not our idea. This is a God idea. So I'm going to share several scriptures to establish that fact and answer this one driving question. And that question is, why are 3C friendships so important? So today is not just an introduction to a message, but it's an invitation to a movement. And I want to take a moment and just pray. If you would, bow your heads. Dear Father, we thank you for calling us here, calling us to a movement, calling us to abandon what we know to grab hold of what you have for us. We ask you to guide us on this journey. Allow your Holy Spirit to lead us and comfort us, to shake us, to move us, to help us get rid of things we need to let go of and to grab hold of things that we need to take hold of. We thank you for considering us, Lord, to be a part of this great story, your story, Father. And I ask you, as always, that you would open our ears today so we can hear what you're saying. Open our eyes so we can see what you're doing. And then open our hearts, Lord, so we can receive what it is you want. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. It was back August 5th, 2018, when we first publicly shared our mission. And we shared our vision of having this multicultural community that was being empowered and transformed by the grace, truth, and love of Jesus. We knew early that for this church, our DNA, a part of our DNA would be to create space that will foster these 3C friendships, these type of relationships. And when you carefully examine the scriptures, this is what you'll find out. 3C friendships are channels, are the channel through God's love flow through the world. They are the channel, again, through which God's love, it flows through the world. These type of friendships, they best represent the community and kingdom of God. So let's examine, why are 3C friendships so important? And the first thought here is that God values, this is why it's so important, God values all people, everyone. And today you hear the terms of diversity, multicultural, cross-cultural community. This is not new to God. Not at all. We learned early in humanity that God had this in mind. In fact, this is something that we shared during our vision dinners. We shared that God spoke to Abraham early in humanity. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 4 and 5, I'll just read verse 5. He says, "No longer will you be called Abram. I'm going to change your name. You're going to be Abraham, and I've made you a father of many nations." God was letting Abraham know that I will bless you, Abraham, and I am calling you to be a father of many nations. In Hebrew, that word nation is goe. In Greek, it's ethnos, where we get ethnicity. A common people, place. He said, Abraham, I'm going to do something amazing in and out of your life. I am going to bless you, but it's not just for you. Abraham, I will make you, not only bless you, but I will make you a blessing to all people. This was early in the scope of God. And when you look at Abraham and his life, you say, who was Abraham? Abraham actually comes from a pagan background. His people worship a moon god. And God initiates discussion with him. He sends Abraham, if you will, a friend request. And say, Abraham, or Abram, let's be friends. I want to do something amazing in the earth, and I want to do it through you. And the scripture says that Abraham believed God. He trusted God. And his belief was counted as righteousness. And it's so amazing. the first time we hear about Abraham and his mission is in chapter 12. But if you go to chapter 11, you'll see that there were a lot of people, nations, that actually were together. And they decided that they wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to do something big, build a tower without God. Isn't that humanity? We want to do it our own way. Build our own structure and make a name for ourselves. But God says, no, I'm going to show you my name. And Abraham, I'm calling you. And chapter 12, this is what he tells Abraham. He says, one, and this is good for us as we move forward in this series. He tells Abraham, I need you to get up and go. He tells him to depart. Leave your place. Leave where you are. Leave your place, your people, your father's household. And in order for us to really engage in this 3C friendship, we have to get up from where we are. We cannot rest in the security of what we know, because God wants to do something bigger. Oh, man. I'm going to start clapping for myself. He wants to do something. And so he tells Abraham, get up. And Abraham, I don't want you to find your identity in that stuff, but I want you to find your identity in me. And then he tells him to discover. He tells Abraham, I need you to get up. I need you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. It's like, where are you going? I'll show you when you get there. Think about it. And he leaves everything on this journey with God. Hebrews 11 and 8 said, it's by faith Abraham, when he was called to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. My brothers and sisters, we don't know how this is going to turn out. We don't. But we know this is going to be awesome. It will be amazing because God is calling us to this. And then he says this, Abraham, I want you to explore and experience your destiny. As I mentioned earlier, and we'll move forward. He said, I want to bless you in verse 3 of chapter 12. Not only bless you, but I'm going to make you a blessing to all people of the earth will be blessed. I know a lot of times we talk about, oh, I want a blessing, I want a blessing. How about this? God just doesn't want to bless you. He wants to make you a blessing. And it flows through this relational equity, if you will, among this cross-cultural and Christ-centered relationships. And so let me just show you a kind of my journey. I was born and raised in Flint, as many of you know. And, you know, my dad told me to get up, time for me to go after I graduated high school, was trying to look out for me. He wouldn't put me out, but looking out for me. I joined the Navy and went to Florida. And in our community, we had a very tight church community, and people pretty much stayed right there. And I was kind of the oddball that walked away from there and joined the military. But it was there I started really connecting with other people, different backgrounds, different cultures, and start learning and start valuing and appreciating other people. Had a chance to travel on the Mediterranean, and from there I was come back and lived in Pontiac and worked at various jobs, as you see on the screen, at Focus Hope in Detroit, Civil and Human Rights Organization. It was part of the Church of God in Christ. And then my wife and I, we were part of a Liberian church. And we thought, you know, I'm African American, and we had a lot in common, but it was a lot we didn't have in common. Like, whoa. But we're learning. And then from there, And we went to Spalding and was part of various other churches, such as the River Church. I was part of Vision 360 with Kensington. And Kensington, I learned for the first time that you can have a service in 1 hour. Talking about disorienting dilemmas. We'll talk about that but later. But it was exposing myself and following where I believe God was calling me that led me to learn more and understand other things. I'm looking around like, guys, where you going? Is it halftime? It's like church is over. No. Part of a church plant in the inner city called Reverse, part of the International Christian Church. And just connecting with different organizations and starting organizations. And one point in my life, it looked like, again, I share this with our team. One part of my life, when I look back, it just seemed like it was just simply just dots. And I was wondering, God, what is up? What's going on in my life? I didn't understand this. Where am I going? What's happening to me? Where am I? And it was just dots. I'm doing this, doing that, this and that. And then I begin to see the hand of God come in, if you will, and start connecting those dots and saying, this goes with that, this goes with that, and this. And then I was able to see the picture that God was drawing and preparing me for what we're doing right now. And so I want to encourage you, those dots, when you're in between spots and wondering what God is doing in your life, those dots are actually plots to a bigger picture. And not only me, but another person that was on this journey that had moved from his place of origin was Paul, an apostle. He is formerly Antichrist. He was trying to stop the people of the way. And Jesus knocks on his door, if you will, and checks him about persecuting the church and tells him, I have a mission for you. I am sending you to the Gentiles. And guess what? If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. So it's not a black, white, a thing like that. It was either clean or unclean. And there was a big gap between those who were considered clean and those who were unclean. Because those who were clean were the ones that received, that God first came to. But again, he didn't just come to the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, but he was getting through the world. To them through the world. And Paul's on this journey, and he realized why 3C friendships are important when God called him. And here's why: they are essential to the gospel. What is the gospel? It is the good news that in Jesus, God has restored us back in proper relationship with him. That's good news. We have relationship. He's brought us back. But if you stop there, you only have half of the story. That's just a part of the gospel, my friends. The rest of the part is not only did God restore us vertically, our relationship, but he also restored relationships horizontally. The cross. Check this out. Ephesians 2, verse 14. It says, for he himself is our peace, who made two groups, one, Jew, Gentile, clean, unclean, those who were circumcised, those that had the promise, those who had the promises and covenant of God, and those that did not have it. And he sent Jesus, he is our peace And out of two groups, he made one. And listen what he did. He destroyed the barrier. Destroyed the barrier. And the dividing wall of hostility. This is a part of the gospel. This is not, I don't know why y'all act shy this morning. This is not an addendum to the gospel. This is not an attachment to the work of Christ. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. It said he destroyed, and there was literally a wall in the temple where the Gentiles could not approach God, could not come. And in fact, if you read in Acts, you will see where Paul was being arrested because he defiled the temple by bringing Gentiles in the temple. So he thought. But here he's saying Jesus destroyed that barrier and the dividing wall. In verse 16, it says, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which, again, he put to death the hostility. Why in the world are we trying to resurrect what he put to death? He put it to death. This is the work of the cross. And he came and preached. He said, peace to those that were far away and peace to those that are near. And it says, for through him we both, right now, we have access to the Father by one Spirit. This is why it is important. And then verse 20, it says this, we're built on the foundation, talking about the building blocks to a better world, 3C friendships. We're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus. 3C friendships, my friends, is not a passion for diversity. It's not. It's not a passion for diversity. It's a passion for the gospel. I'm going to show this picture, this image right here of a puzzle that we have on the screen. And now, if we were to put this puzzle together, we could just start picking up pieces, right? Start picking up pieces and start, oh, see if this fits here or this fit there. We could experiment and like do that. But you know what it'll do? It'll waste time. It will. Because if we really want to put this puzzle together, we need to know what the puzzle looks like, right? So you take a look at the picture. You take a look at the idea, right? You take a look at what it should be or where it's going, and then based on that, you can pick up the right pieces and put them in place. What if we had a picture, a portrait, that God showed us his ultimate objective? What if we had a picture of what God was doing with humanity? What if we really had that? I got good news for you. We do. We have a picture. Let's turn to this picture in Revelation. And we share this often. Chapter 7, verse 9. This is the picture. And this is why 3C friendships are so important, because it is a picture. It is a preview of the kingdom. When we're in committed, cross-cultural, and Christ-centered friendships, it is a preview of the future kingdom. Listen to what John saw. And I looked. After this, I looked. And there before me was a great multitude that no one could number. This is the end game. No one could count, from every nation, every tribe, people, every language. They were standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice saying, salvation belongs to our God. No one can save like our God. Whoo! No one can deliver. No one can heal. No one can bring us out. And it was people from everywhere. And let me tell you, it was important to God that John saw this picture of every tribe, every tongue. There will be ethnicities in heaven, but what there will not be is segregation. There's not going to be an African-American church, an Arab church, or Japanese, just to name a few. There won't be segregation in heaven. Now, see, this is the picture of the future. And see, Jesus taught us to pray, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We see what's there. We might as well get started right now. Praise God. I'm going to ask the band to come at this time. And finally, these relationships are important because there is a power, as the title, the power of 3C friendships. What is that power? Here's the power. It is our unity within our diversity is a direct witness to the love of God. That is powerful. It is our witness, our coming together that tells the world that God loves them. No matter where you're from, no matter what your background is, our unity shows the world Jesus. It makes Jesus visible. And by making Jesus visible, the world will know that they're loved. I'll leave you with this last scripture. John 17, 20 through 23. This is Jesus prior to leaving, this prayer of intercession as he prayed for the disciples. Listen to this intimate, sincere prayer. He says to God, my prayer is not for them alone. I'm not just praying for my disciples here. But listen to what he said. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. Jesus prayed for us. This prayer is for us. Jews and Gentiles to get it together. Those that will hear his message. And listen what he says. That all of them may be one. That they be one. He says, Father, just this is how much he wants us to be connected. Just as you are in me and I in you. This is how connected God wants us. This is Jesus' prayer. May they also be in you, so why the world may believe that you sent me. When we engage in 3C friendships, the world will look and they will know, they will believe that Jesus was sent from God. And then it says, I've given them the glory that you gave me that they may be one as we are one. I and them and you and me, so that they might or may be brought to complete unity. And then it says this, then the world will know, they're going to know that you sent me and have loved them even as you love me.
That's powerful. That is the power of 3C friendship. So as we close, the question is, where do we go from here? I'm encouraging you, one, to show up, because today was just an overview. Show up. Not just here, but show up. Let's show up for each other. This is the heart and passion of God. People will wonder, how is it that you guys can stay together with all this division going on? We can point to Jesus. Make him visible. Show up. Be open. Be willing to learn. To let your guard down. Because I guarantee you, where God is calling us is better than where we are right now. And then let's journey. Let's journey together. Bow your heads. Some of you, I hear your first step really is to say, all right, Jesus, I'm in. I want to put my trust in you. I want to love you like this. I want to receive your love. I want to know your love for me. As I be a channel for you. If that's you, I encourage you in this moment, really just say something simple but profound. And that's, Jesus, I give you my life. In this moment, you can just say, Jesus, I give you my life. And for the rest of us, I pray in this moment that you'll be willing and ready to abandon everything, any other identity or affiliation, to really dive deep, to be committed, be cross-cultural and Christ-centered in our relationships. So, Father, we thank you today. We thank you for that one, that person who are saying yes to you right now. Placing their trust in you right now. Thank you. And Father, we pray as a community, as we journey, as we dive deep and deeper Sunday mornings and Wednesdays, that you would bless us, Lord. Give us the grace, because we want to live into this identity, into your identity, to represent you, to be the church that you purpose in this moment, in this day, in this hour. Lord, collectively we say yes to you. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' holy name.
Thank you for listening. If you want to learn more about us, visit us online at lifechurchauburnhills.org.